He has overcome. Amen. There's nothing, nothing that can stop our God. Nothing. Can you say anything that's stop our God? No, absolutely not. And He is for us, and He is with us. And for that, Lord, we are thankful. Whether you're here online or you're here in person, may you just be filled with the Spirit and feel His presence this morning as we worship Him and learn about being a light unto this world, which needs it. It needs it, right? Flood the nations with love and mercy. And one way He does it is through us. He can use us however He wants. So let's hear more from Him in our readings.
Today's first reading is from Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Here ends the first reading. The second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Here ends the lessons.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids that want to head out for children's church, feel free at this time. Those who receive and believe, He has given the right to become children of God. So we're all kids, okay? And Lord, we thank You that we're Your children. And we, Lord, know, Lord, that as Your children, you care for us. And You talk to us. And may You communicate with us through Your Spirit this morning as we get into Your Word and hear from You. Amen. All right, we've been working through Romans 12 here at Shalom. One verse at a time, basically, is what we've been doing. And today, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. This verse has two parts to it. First of all, do not repay evil for evil. And then be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. When the Bible is written, of course, this is a letter to the people of Rome from Paul. He wrote a letter to them. This church that he's growing from a distance, and he's helping them. He's answering their questions. He's encouraging them. There's full of encouragement in Romans. But he's also clearly delineating what our beliefs are about and who God is. He brings all that out. But the person who later divided this into chapters and then verses, in the 1500s when they divided into verses. And the people that did that, I mean, well, that had to take a lot of prayer, right? Where do we start one verse and end it and start the next one? Wow, that would be quite a task. You know, there's a whole lot of words in the Bible, right? A whole lot of sentences. And to try to figure out where to stop and start with the verses. Of course, it made it much easier to find the verse, right? To find a certain part of a writing. Because now that we've got it broken down into chapters and verses, we can find it. We can also communicate with others that way. We can send encouragement. Just this morning, I'd read something, a message that someone had showed us, and then I responded with a Bible verse from Isaiah. And then that person could look it up and see how it fit in there. And I mean, it's just very nice to have that organized. It really helps. But let's dig into what it says. First part of it, part A, do not repay anyone evil for evil. How do we respond when someone does something to us or says something about us that's not so nice. Well, you see that it's existed, you know, since the beginning. People talk bad about others, unfortunately. We try not to as Christians. We try to say something good, or as my parents always taught me, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all, right? And sometimes that silence says a lot too, doesn't it? Alrighty, but today it has changed. It is so much easier to say things about people. You can do it with your thumbs now. You don't even have to look the person in the face or be there present with them, or you can just type it out on social media. I mean, it's full of it. As I read through some social media things, I see people that are not responding in this way. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. But sometimes you see someone post something and then someone responds, and it starts to escalate into an arms race type thing and a whole bunch of other people weighing in. This is not what God intends for us, right? As Christians, we're supposed to look for the good and highlight the good and overcome the evil, of course, but overcome it with good, as we're going to find out when we get to verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. A little preview of what's coming 4 weeks from now, okay, as we get verse by verse. We also see it on the roads now. Road rage has become a thing. I've never personally really experienced it. I have maybe been the recipient of a gesture at a time or two, but I've never been forced off the road. And how do we respond to that? You know, the good thing probably would be to pray for that person. And if I have done something wrong, hey, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry I drove like that, but I didn't intend anyone evil. But yeah, we see that giving in to anger, and again, that can escalate to the point where violence results. It's not good. People are not paying attention to this. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. If everybody took that at the word there, would there be any road rage? We don't respond in that way. Would you see those long back and forth posts on Facebook? No. They'd probably be encouraging each other, lifting each other up, showing love to one another. And that is how we should respond as Christians. Now, we're always in a battle within us, too, because you got that human side of you. When someone does something that you don't really appreciate, the human side of you wants to respond. And you have to sometimes sort of push that down, and then you can build up pressure again. You know, it's going to look for a place to burst, or else we can just sort of take it to the Lord in prayer, right? And yeah, and then just let it bleed off, you know, in His presence. Let Him take it, not us. And we see that with people where it'll just one little thing and it adds up. Pretty soon that pressure is building and something's going to blow. Again, if we're representing Christ, we shouldn't be doing that. Now, He did have His time in the temple overturning the tables when people were dishonoring God. And that should bother us when people dishonor God. How do we respond? Well, we're going to hear more about that today. That human side of us, again, feels that, but there's also this innate sense of justice within us. And we long for justice, for people to get their due. We like to see justice, except when it's for us, I suppose, right? Right. It's good for other people. They do something, we just sort of get that smile, and yeah, they cut us off in traffic, and next thing you know, they're getting pulled over. You're just going, yes, okay, justice. And it's in us from the beginning. You look at little kids, you know, when they start fighting, it's, you know, he started it, right, okay, and they want to see justice. Okay, Jill needs Sunday school supplies here. There you go. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to drop something. So, yeah, the little kids have this sense of justice, you know, he started it, they want retribution, they want to see, you know, people treated that way. Also, we'll try the blame game. It's someone else's fault. You know, he started it, etc. If you're driven all the way across the Dakotas with little kids in the back seat, you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, yeah. All right, but it's there. And our elementary and kindergarten teachers, God bless them. I mean, that they get the chance to develop that, right? In the high school and college level, I get the chance to, you know, affirm that. But they're tasked with developing that. And as parents, and as just friends and relatives, we are tasked with that as well, to guide people, to teach children the right response, not to give in to the human side, which is there, and it's tempting, okay, but to not repay evil with evil. Now, this is, this is apparent to us as Christians, but there's a lot of non-believers out there. Non-believers, you could substitute the word opportunities. Okay, think of them as that. They are opportunities. People that we can bring the word to. People that we can show love to. People that we can bring them in and build them up in their faith. People maybe of different belief systems. Or people that have no belief system. Which, I don't know, would be a tough life. I can't imagine not experiencing the presence of God every day and turning to Him and knowing that He's there. If we didn't have that, what would life be worth? And I guess we'd have free license to live our human side out as much as we want, wouldn't we, in many ways, if we were not held in check by our beliefs and by the Holy Spirit, of course, who's going to guide and direct us, who's going to correct us when necessary, if we're open to it. Without that, we would respond with evil, and then it gets to be that arms race. Okay, someone does evil, someone does even more and more and more and more, and then it can just get out of control. As Christians, again, we don't take part in that. We seek to overcome evil with good instead. And Peter, in his letter here, 1 Peter, echoes what Paul was saying today. We hear the same theme coming out. Of course, they're both inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? They have the same source for their writings. All Scripture is God-breathed and inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit prompted Paul to write to the Romans, and he prompted Peter to write this circular letter here as well that we heard about. He writes in verse 9, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with a blessing." All right, there's how we respond. We don't repay evil with evil, just like Paul said there, or insult with insult, but with a blessing. Because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Now, Peter, of course, one of the 12 apostles, spent a lot of time with Jesus. And he was one of the inner three as well, Peter, James, and John, that were there at special times. So all throughout his letters here, he's saying things as Jesus taught him. As Jesus taught him how to respond. In Romans 12, a few weeks ago, we had heard, "Bless those who persecute you." Same type deal here. Bless and do not curse. Again, restraining the human side, acting as Jesus would. You know, you ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? And if you respond in that way, you're doing the right thing. Because he always did the right thing, and still does. Still does. If we do this, Peter also mentions a reward. Now, we do not do it to earn a reward, to earn favor with God. We do it because it's the right thing, and it's because of who we are now as followers of Christ. We have been changed. The insides of us have been purged of the evil. Now, it still tries to get in there, right? But when we become followers of Christ, we seek to do the right thing because we are a new creation in Christ. He lives in us. We let Him respond through us and guide our directions and our actions. So he said here, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with a blessing. Because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing." We will be blessed when we respond in the right way. We don't do it to try to earn a blessing, but it's sort of this byproduct, this reward that just comes along with it. You're going, okay, thanks, God. Anybody else want to live under God's blessing? Yeah, absolutely. And as we seek Him, we're going to experience more and more of that blessing. As we seek Him as individuals, yes, as the body of Christ, we're going to be blessed. And as a nation, if we seek Him, we will be blessed. If we start following other ways and doing other things, you're not going to live under the blessing of God. And that's not a good thing. It's there and it's available if we will just follow Him, if we will just seek Him, if we will just walk in His ways and treat others in this way, to repay with blessings, to pray for someone who persecutes you. Someone wounds you deep down with an insult or an act or something like that, pray for them. And genuinely, Lord, I want to respond in the right way, and I want this person to experience good as well. I want them to experience your blessing. I want them to experience your presence. I want them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord. I want to see their life just turned around so that they have this wonderful testimony, and it shows to the world that they are light now to the world because of what you have worked within them. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. So we pray that that person would be filled with the Spirit, that they would have a new perspective on life, and they would seek to bless others. They would seek to bless others. You see that sometimes when someone turned their lives around and you're just going, yes, Lord, yes, yes, yes. When they have a spiritual awakening and they start following him, a devoted follower, it's a beautiful thing. All right, he continues here. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil. Okay, don't respond in an evil way. Use your words to build others up. Say good things about others. Find the good. Sometimes you got to look a little harder. For there is good in everybody, right? It's there. We all have good in us, and we all have the capacity to do evil. We make a choice. Sometimes daily. How am I going to respond to this? He must turn from evil and do good. It's always possible to turn. If we find ourselves responding in the human way or the wrong way, okay, put on the brakes, stop, all right? And then turn. Turn back to him. Because he is always there and always willing to take you back. Arms wide open, that's our God, right? No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, you turn to him, it's going to be welcome back. I've been waiting for you. I've been watching you. I've been waiting for you, and I'm just so happy that you're back. And also, that the rejoicing, they'll be in heaven when one sinner repents, it tells us, right? That there's much rejoicing in heaven. So there's this big party going on in heaven when someone repents. And sometimes we can be a part of that. Maybe by initiating with a blessing, responding with a blessing to, you know, get them on the right path. Turn from evil and do good, do the right thing, for he must seek peace and pursue it. To seek peace and pursue it. To seek peace, that's a good thing. But this is more than seeking, this is pursuing. To actively go after it. To actively seek his peace and to seek him. Because he wants a relationship with each one of us. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Now we are not self-righteous, but we've been made righteous by what Jesus did. If we accept what he has done, we are counted as righteous in God's eyes. And the eyes of the Lord are on us. His blessings will rest upon us. That's great. The alternative at the end of verse 12. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I don't know about you, but the idea of the Lord being against me, yikes. Okay, that is not going to turn out well. Again, it's a choice on our part to follow him or to follow the ways of this world in more ways than one. And that's where I pray for our youth, that they would be following God rather than the ways of this world. Because the world is trying to entice them away from God, is trying to lead them away with all these other ideologies, all these other schools of thought, and temptations, of course. You know, things that maybe feel good or something like that, but then trap you, you know. Drugs, alcohol, things like that. So pray for our youth. Work with our youth. Be there for our youth. And help them. Guide them. We've all walked wrong paths. Can we then share the wisdom we've gained with the youth? Can we help them out? Absolutely. You maybe don't have to tell them your whole story, but say, hey, I've sort of been there, seen that, and where your head is not good. You might be able to turn them back. So we do what's right, not to earn any reward, but out of who we are. And by doing what's right, we stand as an example. We actually shine as an example. We may not feel worthy, and we're probably not on our own. But we can do what's right, and that's going to set an example for others, right? That's going to be a light into this world. So if we look at the second part of 17, we had do not repay anyone for evil, evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Now, that could be taken in two ways. To do what's right in everybody else's eyes. In the eyes of this world, do we want to do what's right in the eyes of this world? No, we are not to be conformed to the ways of this world, right? But to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may know the perfect will of God and follow it. So don't take this as, hey, we want to do what everybody else says is right. Okay, because humans can make up their own versions of right and wrong. And they're not always aligned with God's, right? His ways are higher. And if he says what's right and wrong, we ought to be following that, not veering off on some other path, some other school of thought. So let's take it in the right way. It said, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody so that everybody else sees it. They see it. And hopefully they see why we're doing it. Not to build ourselves up, not out of pride, because, hey, I'm better than everybody else, I'm doing what's right. No, no, to give God the glory, to show how he has changed us, to live it out as a witness to others. This is basically the Great Commission. If you look at Matthew 28, there's a part of it there that really echoes with this as well, as Jesus was sending his disciples out. Okay. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. Teaching them. Not just in the classroom, but by the way you live, right? To obey everything I have commanded you. To be that light. Our actions should be instructing others and showing others for God's glory once again. To be a light to this world. And that's what we had heard today in our gospel, Matthew 5. Says, you are the light of the world. I underline that red. You are the light of this world. Jesus is talking to us as well as to the disciples. We are a light to this world. Sometimes you might feel a little dim. But does even a dim light dispel darkness? If you're in a dark room, even if there's a dim light? Yeah, it does. The darkness flees with light. And as we are built up in our faith, we can become brighter and brighter, right? You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. It's going to shine no matter what, all right? Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Now, the bowl can block the light, but the other danger there is that bowl is not going to allow oxygen in, and it can actually put out the light. So let your light shine. You know, hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Remember that from Sunday school? Okay. Yeah, let it shine. And lights back in that time, it wasn't electric lights, right? It wasn't what we have here. It wasn't LED or halogen or incandescence or fluorescence, any of those things. It was combustion. That's the source of light they had. They had lamps, they had candles, they had fires. Putting that under a bowl then is going to put it out. There's that danger. But a fire can start other things on fire, right? The light can spread. If we are a light, that can spread to others. It can get them on fire for the Lord. And when you're surrounded by believers, when you're surrounded like they're opening music and stuff like that, it's just, yes, I'm feeling this. I'm feeling the Spirit. And now we can go out and share with others as well. We can set them on fire for God. Instead, they put it on a stand, right? We don't hide it. We put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house, to others, to all those around us, when we represent God. Again, not for our own glory, but we do represent him. Yesterday, I was at a Christian educators conference. It was very, very good. A bunch of teachers, fellow teachers, gathered together and learned about, you know, Christianity and education, what we can and can't do in the classroom. You know, we cannot openly put one belief system over to others. You know, the establishment clause of the First Amendment. You know, the government shall not establish a religion, expect everyone to adhere to it. We have to treat them all equal. First Amendment's there for our protection. It's there to protect us from the government. And then the free exercise clause, or they're not going to limit the free exercise thereof. So teachers are sort of caught in the middle. We can't tell everyone about Christ, you know, openly, because we represent the government, but how are our individual rights limited then? We have the free exercise. We can worship anytime, anywhere we want, according to the Constitution. We're sort of caught in the middle there. But what we can do is we can be an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador. Paul wrote about that in 2 Corinthians 5, if I turn to that. I get to the right part here. I didn't tab that one. Here we go, 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Our light is going to shine. As ambassadors, ambassadors represent a country, right? We represent God as Christ's ambassadors. We bring his presence. We are given a measure of authority. Ambassadors have that. We can act on his behalf. Another thing about ambassadors is they're appointed. They're not elected. They're appointed. Someone is the ambassador to Egypt. They are appointed in that position. And God has appointed us as believers to be his ambassadors, to carry his light, to carry his presence, to represent him. An ambassador has to be skilled in the art of diplomacy. And we do too. We have to sort of watch what we say. We want to build others up. We want to encourage them. We want to make connections. We want to make connections with others. That's what diplomats and ambassadors do. An ambassador is in a foreign country. They are not a citizen of that country. Similarly, we are in the world, but not of the world. We are, if you're a believer, already a citizen of heaven, the Bible tells us. And which is a great thought. So we are in this world, we are representing him to the world, making connections with others, hopefully to draw them in, to light that fire within them, to see that happen. So being that light, then, it's sort of like being an ambassador. We are representing God, we are going out with his presence to others, to be a light to the world, to shine in the darkness, because there's a lot of darkness in this world. If we turn to John chapter 1, verse 5, love John 1. It's just a great introduction to John. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. We are a light to this world, shining in the darkness. And believe me, there is a fair amount of darkness in this world. And sometimes it seems like it's increasing. But the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not understood it. We pray that it will. We pray that people will understand, that they will come to Jesus, that they will repent and be saved. And by being that light, we can be the one that draws them in, not like maybe a moth to a flame or something like that. But we can be a light. We can light the path for others. And we can shine God's light to those around us. They're going to see the joy that we have. They're going to see the hope that we have. They're going to see the confidence they have. They're going to see how we love one another. And as such, then, we are truly representing God to this world, to all the nations, and to this nation. Again, which could use it. So shine in the darkness, folks. Bring light to others, right? We don't keep the light for ourselves. We don't just shield it to ourselves. We share the light with others. The light goes outward, right? We're not going to reflect it back in. We're going to reflect it outward. We're going to focus it at times. It's going to refract as well as reflect. Okay, we can go into reflection, refraction, diffusion. I could get a big physics lesson here, but no. Okay. Our light is going to go out there. It is going to change things. It's going to bring people light. They're going to see then. Those that have been walking in darkness have seen a great light, right? And that applies today as well, that we can bring that light and that we can be that light. Again, why? Not to build ourselves up, not to make ourselves look good. But the end of the gospel for today, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That the glory goes to him, to whom it is due. To God be the glory. Let your light shine. Amen.